Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
I am excited to be here today. What you do with what you know is more important than what you know. So I don't want to create another group of conversations where we just talk about knowledge, discuss powerful things, and then we never implement any of those things in our life. So that is why I'm taking it gradually, pace by pace, and then to make sure that these are things that you can apply, you know, specifically to your life. Okay. Over the month, we'll be discussing what I call eternal principles for success. Okay. I'm hoping it's going to help you to have a successful year, but more importantly, a successful life. Okay. Part of what I want to do from today is to shift your thinking to stop possibly thinking in your life in terms of months and years. Okay. But in terms of seasons in the sense that you are thinking about your life in view of 7 years, in view of 14 years, in view of 10 years, in view of 50 years, in view of a lifetime, okay? People who have done extremely well in terms of building a life of success on earth are not just looking in terms of what the year bring or what the month bring. They are looking at a lifetime of value, a lifetime of impact. And the more we have conversations this month, you are going to understand why I want us to have that mindset. So part of what I'm going to be doing, especially today, is to address, you know, certain myths and ideas that are not real or that are not right, that keep people from making progress year after year. Okay, so what happens is that every year there is a new year resolution. I want to be this, I want to achieve this, which most times most of us, you know, can observe. I've lived long enough to observe that usually we have different new year resolutions almost every year. Okay, so we try this year, it's not working, we try another one next year, and then we're just hoping that, you know, maybe this year is going to be the best year. I want to move you from a state of just hoping that it might be a good year to working with certainty, to working with, you know, a program that you are sure of, that your life can deliver on. You can't really anchor your life on wishes. Okay. Like I said, we have lived long enough to see that it doesn't work. Okay. So you need to anchor your life on eternal life principles that work, so that your life will not just be a mere wish that happens every year, but something solid, something impactful that measures progress season after season. Okay, I'm emphasizing season because God also works in season. God is seasonal. God has a program. So in aligning ourselves with His season, His programming, with His mindset, we are more likely to live a productive life. Okay. The very first point I want to, you know, share with you today, in view of first year, in view of moving into a new year, you know, the mindset of coming into a year, being hopeful about the year, is first, if you're writing down, it will be good to write this thing down. The past and the future are the same. The past and the future are the same. Okay. The future is your past, and your past is the future. Okay. Several years ago, people who have followed me for a long time will know that I don't really believe in the word future, the way we use it. Okay. The idea and the concept of future is a mirage. I always say that it doesn't exist. Okay. The only thing that has existence is yesterday and today. The future has no existence. because the future is truly same as today and yesterday. Okay, we are in this meeting today because we've planned it. Okay, I've always looked forward to this meeting. I've made notes to this meeting. Okay, so what we are living now is a future, but it's also a past. Because when I was making notes and creating this meeting and creating the flyer for this meeting, what happened is that it was something that was happening in the past. But same past is also the future that we are living today. So it's not really a future that happens in such a way that we don't know what the future will bring. When we started this conversation, I was asking someone, of course she later changed her statement. I was asking her, how is the year looking? How is the year? You know, she said jokingly that we are looking forward to see what the year will bring. Okay, and most of us approach life looking at, okay, what would the future bring for me? I remember a little song we used to sing. I think, who será, será, whatever will be, the future is not ours to see, if I remember it very well. Who será, será, okay? And some of us live and pattern our life that way, in a way that we think that, okay, maybe the future is going to be, something is going to happen, you know, what will be, you know, whatever God said I'm going to be, that's what I'm going to be. You know, so we always live a life hoping that the next future, the next year is going to get better. But your past and your future is the same. Okay? So what we describe as the future is an outcome of the past. So that is why I say that the past and the future is the same. So whatever I'm doing today is as a result of what I created yesterday. So in my yesterday was an existence of both the past and the future that we are making present today. I hope I'm not sounding too philosophical. Okay, so a great year is as a result of your great past. So it's your past that is as a result, your year is as a result of your past. You can't really separate your year, your new year, from your past. Okay, and before we finish, you will understand why I'm making this emphasis. So a new year is not necessarily new. The way we celebrate Happy New Year, it's not necessarily new. Okay, and why we say that is we have already made plans, either knowingly or unknowingly, of what is going to happen. So why it might look like it's new, why it might sound new, because of the experience. It's something that you have already created, knowingly or unknowingly. Okay, so a new year is an opportunity to reap from the past. I think it's something important for you to write down. A new year is an opportunity for you to reap from the past. It's an opportunity for you to experience in the realm of time or in the realm of physical, whatever opportunity or whatever deposit you have created yesterday. Okay, and then another way I would want you to see the future is that it's an opportunity for you to plant for whatever future that you are looking at. So remember I said, future does not exist. It's only a manifestation. It's only an outcome of whatever I am doing today and whatever I did yesterday. So if you want to know how your new year is going to be like, the first question is to ask yourself, how was last year? What were the seasons of last year? What opportunities did I create last year? What relationships did I build last year? What investments did I make last year? What was I able to engage my life with last year? The future or this new year is only going to be an outcome of the past. In Galatians chapter 6 from verse 7 to 8 is a popular scripture, but I want to read it from the NLT version. Okay. When I read it, you will realize that, okay, this is a popular scripture, but I'm reading from verse 7. It said, don't be misled. You know, I like even the way it started. It said, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I like the way he started it. He started laying emphasis on the justice of God. You know, reminding us that God is a judge. Reminding us that God is not just looking at life in terms of, okay, who am I going to favor? God is looking at, you know, making life just, you know, meaning that, you know, he now went further to explain, because we can assume with our mind, okay, what is the scripture trying to say about God being, you know, just? You know, what is he talking about justice? He said, whatever you harvest is based on what you plant. I know many of us are excited. I don't know about the news. It's not in the mainstream. But I think I was having a conversation with somebody a few days ago, and I think I was in a group. Someone posted that Nathaniel Bassey is being invited to White House for Trump's inauguration that he's going to be playing. You know, everybody just sounded, ah, praise God, oh, God did it, oh, God is wonderful. I say, yes, God did it, God is wonderful. But Nathaniel Bassey has been consistent for the past 20 years of his life. And what scripture does he prove for me? He says, see a man who is diligent in his work. See a man who is diligent in his gift. He will stand before kings and not mean men, and not mere men. So you see that why we always want to celebrate the goodness of God when something powerful happens, we forget that someone has been consistently sowing seeds that they are reaping a harvest today. Okay? Being consistent. I've been in a meeting in the UK where Nathaniel Bassey was sharing his life. He talked about how he started. He talked about, you know, how people were mocking him. I mean, it's no longer very, very fashionable blowing trumpets. You know, I mean, you can see a lot of young people, you know, playing saxophone or a lot of that. You don't see a lot of people playing trumpets, you know. And growing up, they used to mock him. They used to, you know, feel that, you know, but he believed that he has a part in this. He has a future. He remained consistent to it. And today, it's making him to stand before kings. You know, so those who own the future do so by taking ownership of the past. If I'm to say it in another way, those who own the future do so by taking ownership of the present. So your future is not just going to manifest because you pray or because God is going to favor you from heaven. No, remember, he's a just God. He said you cannot mock the justice of God. You cannot just pray your way into a new year when you spent the last few years of your life sowing the wrong seeds. That's what he's trying to say, basically. You cannot mock the justice of God. You know, I mean, people enter this year making, you know, mockery of prayer. I saw, you know, a lot of people who made posts about people who are praying, and they will say, when you are done praying. And, of course, I don't believe in that. I believe in the power of prayer, okay? I believe a lot in the power of prayer. But more so, I believe that the end result of every successful prayer is action. Action that leads to a preferred future. So it means that whenever I engage God in prayer, by the time I'm done, God engages my heart with a task. He engages me with a responsibility. Those responsibility becomes a seed. It becomes actions that leads to a preferred future. So why it is powerful for us to gain clarity, for us to receive ideas, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it doesn't end there. It more leads to actions that give us ownership of the future. Okay? So whatever you are describing as past, or rather, whatever you are describing as future, is only the result of your yesterday. Somebody might say, okay, so if I have not made a lot of investments last year, so am I not going to have a good year? It depends on what you interpret by a good year. If you begin this year, for instance, to place within your life seeds that will bear fruit in the next 1 year, in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years, like Casey pointed when he was writing, he said in the next 10 years, if you can begin to plant seeds now that can mature in the next 10 years, you are actually living that future today. That's why I said that your past and your future is the same. So when I'm planting seed, I'm also preparing for the future. And that future that is supposed to be my past is what I am working on today when I make the right choices. Okay? So the past and the future are the same. It is what you do today, what you do yesterday, that determines the experience of tomorrow. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 verse 2, he said, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He said, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So that means that Jesus had a picture in his mind in the past. He made decisions based on that picture. He took actions which might not be favorable for him at that time. You know, you can see that he endured, meaning that there was suffering. He disregarded the shame. You know, a lot of things surrounding his life that was making it impossible for him to make that decision at that time. He persevered, passed through it, and at the end of the day, what happened is that he gained a future. So whatever you see as a future in the life of Christ existed in his past, but within his heart, as he was making efforts to make progress. The second thing I would like you to note, which I will also need you to write down, is change a mindset from a New Year resolution to a life resolution. Don't make New Year resolutions, make lifetime resolutions. And then what you now do every year, as God give you opportunity, is to review your life resolution and then ask yourself, how am I moving towards the destination, towards the end point, or towards the greatest impact of my life? So not a New Year resolution, but a life resolution. Okay, so a New Year resolution is often a time when people are looking for something to do. What new thing am I going to do? What new thing am I going to start? But rather, it should progress what you have already established. So it means that there is something you're already doing. There's something you already established. There's something you already designed for your life. And what will now happen is that every new year, you review it, make adjustments, take out distractions, improve on what you need to do, and then you keep building. Because life is in seasons. There is nothing you start today that you are going to start reaping the result tomorrow. You need to give it time. Okay? And then if you are someone that is constantly making new plans, constantly making different goals, what will happen is that you will end up not necessarily achieving anything. Can you imagine a mango tree that is always deciding every year? Okay, this year it says, I'm going to be an apple fruit. And another year it says, okay, no, I'm just going to be an orange. And another year it says, okay, maybe let me just be consistent with this mango. At the end of the day, there's not going to be any fruit. Because you don't have a life resolution. You've not decided, what exactly do I want to be? Who exactly do I want to be? What exactly about my life do I want to establish? Then you begin to build consistently on it. Okay? So, for instance, this is a new year. In my office, we didn't really make any new adjustment. We didn't really make any new goals. We just continuously carried on with whatever goal that we have set on course that is guiding the organization. Okay? So it's just a holiday, a resting season for people to travel, spend time with their family, you know, do different things that, you know, time has given them opportunity to do. But beyond that, when we came back, everything carried on as normal. Life started progressing towards the vision. Remember last year we were talking about you identifying and building on your life mission. So life just continuously progressed in the line of vision. There was no meeting to ask, okay, what goals are we pursuing this year? What do we want to achieve this year? No. I mentioned to you that sometime last year, around August, we had a meeting to move the goals of 2025 into 2024, because by August 2024, we had already achieved the 2024 goals. And you can see that there was already goals set for 2025. There's already goals set for 2026. So we just keep moving towards the vision by those simple goals. So anchor your life on a mission. Then create smaller goals to increase the effectiveness and impact of your life mission. That is what you should rather do every year. So if you have not come to the point where you have your life mission, That is what you need to settle this year. That is your beginning point. Move away from, you know, doing New Year resolution or New Year goals to asking yourself, what is my life resolution? What is my life goal? Then as you enter each new year, you are now going to be asking yourself, how do I make adjustments? Where do I improve? What new goals do I need to set? But you remember, you don't just do that every year. You do it for a season. I said the minimum you can plan for your life is 7 years. We discussed it last year. Plan your life in seasons. Let the cycles of your life be in 7 years. So from now to the next 7 years of your life, you have already established a mindset. You've already established a plan that this is what I want to pursue in the next 7 years of my life. Okay, so you anchor yourself on a life mission. Then you now create smaller goals to increase the effectiveness and impact of that life mission. Absorb yourself from New Year resolution and begin to think in terms of what? Seasons. Minimum of 7 years. If you can do 5, it's fine. If you think that beginning point is 3 years for you, it's fine. But sit down and ask yourself, from now to the next 7 years of my life, what exactly am I building? Success becomes different for you. Relationship becomes different for you. Personal development becomes different for you. Habit development becomes different for you. Because you are now building as a man who is not just beating the air, but you are building as a man who knows exactly what he is doing. The third point I want to mention, time is moving so fast, is I also want you to understand that life is a continuum. Okay? So your life is not, what's the best way to put it? So your life, the seasons of your life is not something you just wake up every year and then you just suddenly make adjustments to. No, your life is a continuum. Okay, events and circumstances of your life, even though you see it as change, have already been predetermined. And there are some aspects of that predetermination I would like to share with you. Okay, events and circumstances of your life are somehow already predetermined. And how were they predetermined? Through human actions. Some of them are your own actions. Some of them are the actions of the people who were alive before you. Some might still be currently alive. Okay, so your new year, I'm still emphasizing on that, is a result of the previous years. Let me also put it in a different way. Your new year is a result of the previous lives. Not your life in multiple times, but people who have gone before you, your fathers. You are an extension. You are a DNA of a life that exists before you. I remember during the festive season, my daughter cracked a joke. I can't remember exactly what we are discussing, but I think she did something. And then I told her that I remember doing something like that when I was small, you know, and then she now laughed. And then she now brilliantly just says to me, so that means, why are you guys beating us and blaming us? Everything we are doing today is what you guys did, you know, and then we all laughed in the room. Of course, it made brilliant sense. So everything you did when you were small is what I'm doing today. So why are you beating me as if I'm doing something different? But you are the one who did it through me, in a way, you know. And I said, nice point, nice one. You got me on that one. And then we just laughed. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. When I gave birth to my first son, he had a scar on his head. Okay. And that scar on his head was also on my head. So what happened was that after my secondary school, I had an accident that shifted my neck bone, my C6 cervical vertebrae. So I was did traction on the head in order to straighten my neck bone. So what happened was that after the traction, it left a mark on my head. And then when they gave birth to him, he had the same mark on his head on the same spot. And I said, wow. This is exactly what people call reincarnation. Assuming I was dead, they would just say, ha, Nonso has come back to life. See, Nonso. You know, you always hear things like that, that somebody died and then the great-grandson, Nan, you know, was giving birth and then he had a scar And that scar resembled the scar that was on the father's leg or the great-grandfather's leg. And then we call it reincarnation. And I now ask them, so did my son reincarnate while I'm alive? So is it like a double manifestation of life? Okay, so what I'm driving with that point is that you have medical examinations, you go, they will ask you, do you have a history of this sickness in your family? Do you have a history of this type of challenge in your life? And then they are going to, you know, try to know your family history. Now, we do that even spiritually. Sometimes you go to a church and they tell you you need to do deliverance. This one happened in the past, that one happened in the past. But here is what I'm going with this. There are certain mindsets, there are certain understanding that you came to life with, and most of us are constantly renewing those mindsets every year without challenging those thoughts. There are certain thoughts you have, there are certain characters. There's a way you take actions, there's a way you think, there's a way you see people, there's a way you see life. Most of those things go unchallenged year in, year out. And they are what actually starts controlling different aspects of our life. When you understand that life is a continuum, here is where I'm going to. New Year is an opportunity for you to make adjustments by reflecting on the past. You know, sit down and look at your life. Sit down and look at the patterns of your life. This is what many of us don't do. We think that New Year is an opportunity to look ahead. No. I'm telling you today that New Year is an opportunity for you to look back. Don't look ahead. They tell you that New Year is a year for you to look ahead, plan. No. Don't look ahead. Look behind. I remember I heard something so many years ago. I think it was from Joyce Meyer. He said that we don't understand forward, we understand backward. So many decisions, sometimes when you make a decision, you don't know the impact of that decision until after 7 years. So look at your life backward. Look at your decisions. Look at patterns. Look at opportunities. How did you handle opportunities? How did you manage relationship? Look at how people go into your life and leave. Look at how you start something and stop. Look at how your father did it. Look at how your great-grandfather did it. Look at different patterns. Learn from it and then begin to demand changes in line with whatever future that you want to experience. You begin to start changing the events and circumstances of your life by actions that you agree with, and not just actions just pushing your life. Some of us are just in an autopilot. And your year is just going to be autopilot year. So at the end of the year, you are now going to be asking yourself, remember how you felt when the last year ended? Did you feel fulfilled? Did you feel you achieved much? Did you feel, okay, this was an awesome year? Or do you feel, this year ran so fast. And look at where I am. I've not achieved so many things I've achieved. Go back and reflect. I shared some of these things last year. Go back and reflect. Reflect on your life. Look at the last year. How many opportunities came into your hands? Even look at how much money came into your hands last year and how was it spent? It's not just saying that I want to make more money this year. How have you spent the one you made last year? Review your relationships. Review your actions. Review the actions of your parents, the mindset of your parents. I'm doing a book on national transformation. This is a bit different from what we are saying, but a lot of the concepts I share on the national level are things I also learned from my own individual life and individual lives around me, okay? And one of the things I've learned consistently over the years is that poverty is cultural, okay? So poverty is cultural in the sense that, I'm just going to maybe share 2 points. And I'll leave it there. Poverty and wealth is generational. And poverty and wealth is also cultural. Okay? It's together, but I want to just make a difference. So, for instance, when I mean poverty and wealth is generational, is that if you are from a poor home, for instance, there are high chances that you are going to be poor. Okay? If you are from a rich home, there are high chances that you are going to be rich. Okay? Culturally, this is where culture comes in. Whatever manifests over generation transmits through culture. Sometimes what you call culture is a mindset, is a lifestyle, is a way of thinking. So what happens is that we pass it down generationally. We pass it down generationally. It comes to a point where it becomes normal. That's what we call culture. So we have a reasoning. Corruption is becoming almost like a culture, a way of life, a way of succeeding in Nigeria and Africa. Because generationally, because we have been making decisions around that. And it's becoming a mindset. It's becoming a way of thinking. That if someone is not corrupt, people look at you as if you're a fool. I've been in circles where people are discussing how, you know, they can take advantage of somebody else. Somebody have actually told me that if I don't soil my hands, if I don't dupe somebody else, I will never be rich. I should forget it. I will never be rich in Nigeria. You see the mindset that is driving the environment where we are. So people are waking up every day looking for who to scam, looking to who to take advantage of in order to be wealthy. So what happens is that without you knowing, that's why I want you to pay attention to these things. Most times we don't know. But there are certain thoughts. There are things wired in your DNA. There are things wired in your mindset that is as a result of the life that was before you. That is why I said, if you look at the previous life, sometimes you grow up in a family and you see that your father is intelligent, your mother is intelligent, they are struggling. You also look at your own life, you are intelligent, you are struggling. What are you supposed to do? Take the back seat and begin to ask yourself questions. What certain culture, what certain generational influences do I need to change? If you don't take actions to change the course of your life and destiny, nothing will change. That is why in a family where you now see somebody who becomes wealthy, that person intentionally breaks themselves off that limit. When you come, it looks like that person acts different. Just start looking at some of these things as we talk about it. You will see that it looks like that person is different. In a family, you just see that it looks like there's a way this person acts. There are certain things they don't have appetite for. There are certain actions they don't want to do. You're having family meeting, it looks like they are rebelling against certain things. In most cases, it's not entirely evil. It's not entirely evil. And that is why how I raise my sons is that I give them opportunity to challenge my thoughts and my actions. So for instance, if I'm talking to my children and I say, I would like you to do this, and they say, Daddy, why? I sit down and explain. Sometimes you see them, they challenge the thoughts. They say, but this one, but that one. Sometimes I smile, I say, well, you have a point. Because there are a lot of things I will not be able to deal with that they should also be able to deal for. And if I don't give room for certain kinds of empowering conversation, for them to take, you know, beyond the limits that I also have in my life, I am also going to make their own life very limited. There are certain thoughts, you know, thoughts like, you know, somebody have an entrepreneurial idea. They will say, no, wait, finish school first. Finish school first. When you are done with school first. As if people bottle ideas in a container and keep it under the table and be waiting for you till the time you finish school. There are certain mindsets running in a family. There are people who don't believe they should relocate. You want to make a move. I want to go to Lagos. They say, no, stay here. What are you doing in Lagos? Just stay here. All of us are here. Let's be doing this one. Let's be managing. It has been documented over time that when people make moves on relocation, whether it is, even if it's within the same city, meaning that you live in Lagos and sometimes you relocate from maybe Ojota to another side of Lagos. Relocation sometimes does something because see why? It moves you into an environment with people who are thinking culturally different and people whose generational mindsets are different, and then it forces you to change. That is why. That's just the reason. So it means that even in your location, if you start forcing change on your mindset, on your traditions, on your cultures, on certain DNA traits, what happens is that you will force yourself into a life of success. So life is a continuum. Your life is already in a loop, in a cycle. How to identify the loop or cycle your life is look at your past. Look at your past. Look at the parents before you. Look at the parents before you. Why is Europe wealthy? Why is America wealthy? You see it that it is transgenerational. You see it in their culture, their way of thinking, their approach to things, their approach to life, their understanding of situations. You see that it is different. You go to Asia, you go to different places. When you see organizations that succeed, their mindset, their culture is usually different. These are the things you should approach your year to challenge. These are the things you should approach your year to change. Don't just set goals. If you set a new goal on an old mindset, you are going to produce an old result. If you set a new goal with an old culture, you are going to produce an old result. Without addressing transgenerational issues that are already alive in you, your life will not make progress. So I summarize it this way. Remember, life is a continuum. Don't make a New Year resolution. Make a life resolution. And then remember that your past and your future is the same. Usually, I know somebody might be feeling bad. Maybe you look at your past and you're asking yourself, so are you trying to say that I shouldn't be hopeful this year because I've not made any significant investments in my life? No. Every new year is a planting season for you. And remember, your past and the future is the same. So it means that you can begin now. When you wake up, it's your morning. So it means that don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed. See it as light. See it as deliverance. See it as salvation. That is why most of us have practiced Christianity over years without really understanding what the true word repentance means. Repentance means change your mind. Change your mindset. Change your culture. That was why when you look at the Bible, they will say certain things and Jesus is trying to change their mind about what they were saying. He will say, yes, but this was not what was meant in the beginning. He will say, yes, but this was what the scripture was trying to say. So over time, truths are lost through tradition and culture. And what happens is that those who are beneficiaries of those cultures, without questioning it, without looking at it, begins to reproduce the results of yesterday instead of creating a future path for themselves. So don't feel overwhelmed. Begin again. So for some of you, it must be a fresh start. But remember, I said there has to be clarity. From next week, I'm going to open up a conversation about your self-concept. This is very, very powerful. Some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you might not be conventional. It might be different from some of the things you've heard in the church. It might be different from some of the things you've heard from different ways. But I even want to be challenged. That's why I said we can ask questions. I want to learn from you. Think about it, compare it. How old have you lived your life on earth? Can you measure your results based on what you know? And ask yourself the real truth. Am I moving where I'm supposed to move? Some of these things I share with you come out of critical planning, critical questions I'm asking God. Sometimes I see things, I sit down, I ask God questions. I said, but why? Then I open the Bible, I'm searching for answers. I'm trying to find out. And then sometimes you look at certain things that are written in the scripture that has been taught to us over years, and you are wondering, but this is not what the scripture is saying. How come I've known it this year? All these years like this, how come I've practiced this year? Because there's no critical thinking. In Africa, we are not culturally encouraged to think. We are just culturally encouraged to follow culture, to follow tradition, and then don't challenge it. When you challenge it, it looks like you are rebellious. When you challenge it, it looks like there's something wrong with you. No, but we should create a room where people must be able to ask questions, understand, seek clarity, find what is working, what is not working.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.